Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Mama Ebele. We thank you all on the line tonight. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for this worship time. Father, to you be all the glory, all the honor. Truly, you are a great God. You are a great and mighty God. That's all we know. We thank you that our labor is not in vain. We thank you that we don't seek you in vain. We thank you that you are a faithful Father. We thank you that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, your word can never be broken because your covenant is sure. That which has proceeded out of your mouth, you will never forsake. Your word has never returned void, and it will never return void. Because it is so obvious to us from Genesis to this time and to Revelation, you have never failed. You are still the same God yesterday. You are the same today and you are the same forever. Your word is faithful. Thank you so much for your presence with us tonight. Father, we thank you for the hunger you placed in our heart to hunger and to thirst after you. And you promise that you continuously fill us. You continuously nourish us, equip us, empower us, refresh us, so that God, by your grace, we will continue to stay on our watch until your purposes in the earth in our generation is fulfilled. Have your way tonight, O God. Thank you for your spirit of truth that leads and guides and teaches us all things and brings to remembrance even those things that you have taught us. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The reason that, you know, it's so exciting to be on this line and is because it's always good to hear the voices and just the heart of so many on this line. Could you just imagine, since about 8 years ago, 2008, this is almost like 7, 8 years ago, that God just led a call for 24/7 prayer towards the election in 2008. And from that time, the Lord just, you know, empowered and released the willing women to sustain a 24/7 watch, and here we are still happening. That's not human, that's truly an outpouring of the grace of God. And what God is doing with this altar of prayer, only Him can ever be able to reveal. But I know that the call for prayer is always the highest call, and that's why Jesus is still an intercessor today on the right hand of the Lord, of the Father. So I thank God for all the ASLPN leaders and pastors on this line tonight and the willing women. God continue to bless you. God continue to honor you. May God always remember this altar for your sake and your family and your children, your job and all that you do. Your work, your labor is not in vain. So because of this level of commitment to prayer, it's so important that from time to time, on a weekly basis like this, we encourage one another with words that are truly from the Lord, and we edify one another with spiritual understanding of really what we are doing. So tonight is one of those scriptures and one of those words that inspire intercessors and encourage us as watchmen not to give up, not to let up, because God is forever faithful. So I want to share tonight about do not faint before your harvest. Do not faint before your harvest. Don't ever give up until you see what you're praying for. It's impossible for God to lie. So as long as you are doing anything that is based on the word of God, God says that you will see it come to pass. as long as you believe the word of God, what God has promised will surely come to pass if you do not give up, if you do not faint, because God is not man that he should lie. So the first scripture that I want to read, and then we can just look at some examples in the Bible of this principle is, I want to read from the book of Galatians chapter 6. Before I read that, I want to just welcome our Willing Women Nationals from their trip to Mexico, and we really thank God for what God did with them over there. Thank you. Welcome back home. Galatians chapter 6, I will read from verse 7. It says, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, wasteness. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9 is our key scripture. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, in the appointed season, in the time of God's visitation, we shall reap, we shall see our harvest if we faint not, if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. In God's season, God's appointed season, we shall see our harvest, our reward, if we do not lose heart, if we do not faint, if we do not give up before our harvest. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read another scripture, and then we are going to look at this. This other scriptures is from Psalms 126. Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall see their harvest with joy. Verse 6, he that goes forth and weeping, bearing harvest seeds, precious seeds, shall doubtless, without a doubt, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, his baskets of harvest. Amen. The kingdom of God is built on principles. Just like the natural world is also built on natural principles. So like the way God established the physical world with the law of gravity. The law of gravity from science is so clear that, you know, if you throw a matter up, something up, it will come down. You know, it will come down. The same way is a spiritual law, but also a natural law. But the reason why understanding the natural law also it establishes and governs the reality of the spiritual law. This particular law of sowing and reaping governs everything from Genesis to Revelation. It governs seasons. It governs everything once we understand it. So in the natural, the book of James talks about the husbandman waits patiently for the precious fruit of the earth until he sees the early and the latter rain. And all through the Bible, you see, even in Psalms, everywhere you see the law of sowing and reaping. Jesus used a lot in this area in his parables of the law of sowing and reaping. So here in the book of Psalms and Galatians, here again in Galatians, Paul was using this principle, the law of sowing and reaping. And in Psalms, David was also using this by revelation. Because every one of these great men and women, they experienced this principle, but they did not understand what they were experiencing. And God has to give them understanding by natural principles and by revelation. So tonight, we just want to enforce the faithfulness of God to those who wait upon him, those who truly diligently seek him, that God has never disappointed one and will never, because his character is defined by his principles. So here he says, in the life of a farmer, he says that no farmer ever goes to sow seeds without expectation. Why? Because the law of nature says, whatever you sow, you are going to reap. If you plant orange, you reap orange. If you plant apple, you reap apple. If you plant pear, anything you plant on the ground, the law of nature governs that you reap. But then the principle is, what you plant does not come up overnight. It's also governed by seasons. You know, the latter rain and the early and the latter, before you see the fruit. So he says that as long as there is a seed time, there will also be a harvest time. And understanding this, then the question is understanding the principles of the seasons of sowing and then understanding the times of the seasons of harvest. So in the physical, it says from these two scriptures that we just read, especially here, they that sow in tears. Obviously, the time of sowing is not easy. Because the time of sowing is a time of sacrifice. You are just giving. You are tilling the ground. You are tilling the ground. And then you bought seed with your money. You're sowing, you're giving away the seed. And you're giving and you're sowing. And then you are monitoring the soil. You're clearing the weeds. You're doing so much. It's almost you're just sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing. So, but the guarantee is, there is an expectation. A farmer never goes to that extent without expectation. So because of that expectation, the farmer just continues to faithfully sacrifice, faithfully labor. And then in verse 6, Psalms 126, verse, it says, he that goes forth weeping, carrying these seeds, sowing these seeds, shall also return with rejoicing. And then verse 5 says, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. So the times of sowing can be sacrificial, a lot of sacrifice, but then the times of reaping is marked with a time of joy, a time of rejoicing. That's what the scriptures are saying. And then he also equates it to a time, the time of captivity, and the time of deliverance. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Again, he's talking about spiritual principle. That sometimes in the physical, when people are under captivity, people are under a siege, or people are going through a very oppressive time. He says their joy is taken, a lot of things is taken from them. He said, but when that captivity is overthrown, when that captivity is turned around, joy returns to the people. And it's almost like a dream because of the breakthrough. Now, if we go back to the book of Galatians, we see again, let's read that part again. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap also. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap it if we faint not. Again, the principle Paul is saying here again is using a natural principle that has never failed from Genesis to Revelation to also establish a spiritual principle that will never fail because it governs the characters of God. So here he's saying that God can never deceive us because he's never a deceiver. But also, we should not be deceived because of the difficulty or sometimes the prevailing times of waiting or the seasons where we don't realize that it's still the season we are plowing, we are sowing, we are waiting. And then we become deceived by the circumstance and the situation, thinking that the word of God is mocking our expectation, that what God has promised will not happen. In other words, it's almost like the promises of God are a mockery to us. Through scriptures, there are people that have felt that way. There are prophets that have felt that way. It's like there are men of God that have felt that way, you know, where after years of waiting, it looks like the more they prayed, the more they waited, the more things looked back. So it looks like God's word was mocking them. But the principle has never changed. In the end, they saw their harvest. In the end, they saw their reward. So here he's saying, don't let the situation you are facing, as long as you are serving God, as long as you are laboring in the things of God, as long as you are faithful, sowing your life in the things that pertains to the kingdom of God. He says, don't let the situation you see physically, don't let the circumstances, because you've not seen results or seen fruit or seen breakthrough, don't let those situations cause you to be deceived. Because God can never mock you. The word of God will never mock you. The things of God will never mock you. He says, so the reason why many people tend to invest so much in the flesh is because whatever you invest in the flesh is the physical world and the emotional world that we live in can easily be seen, you know? So people invest so much in the flesh. That's why the natural man cannot really sow into the things of the Spirit, because the things of the Spirit can only be received by faith. So it's so easy to put all our life, all our endeavors, everything that we are, it's so easy to invest it in the flesh. You know, it's for example, we can put in 12 hours in a job, we can work three jobs because we're laboring so much because we feel we can count the money, we can see how the money can pay this bill or do that. But to put that amount of hours in spiritual things, we kind of become weary. So because the natural thing is easily seen. But here Paul is saying something. He says, because of this process a farmer goes through in the physical, he says this same process in the things of the Spirit are not understood by many. So many times when we are waiting for the fruit of our labor, the fruit of prayer, the fruit of giving, the fruit of fasting, the fruit of waiting, staying on the line, staying your watch year in, year out, and it looks like we're not seeing it, he said we begin to grow weary and we begin to give up sowing into the things of the Spirit. And then we tend to begin to put more efforts in the things of the physical. And that's where many also have backslidden. Also, in the book of Malachi, you see this principle. Malachi chapter 3. There were people that were serving God faithfully. But after a while, they were not really seeing the time of reward or the time of their visitation. And they started growing weary. And they started giving up. And they said, there's nothing fruitful about this. But the Lord looked at those who feared him. So by nature, we tend to grow weary. So Paul again went further to say, let's not grow weary in what God has called us to do. And he says, because God is so faithful that in God's appointed season, just like the seasons of the natural where we sow and we reap physically, he said God has a spiritual season where we will surely see what we're praying for. We will surely see what we're believing for if we do not lose heart, if we do not give up, if we do not faint. So, having shared this, the law of sowing and reaping, the principle of seed time and harvest time in the things of the Spirit, one of the best ways to always understand the spiritual principles is to look at a few examples in the Bible. And all this is to fuel encouragement into our hearts, is to energize and to inspire us to stay on our watch, to keep praying, because God can never mock us. As long as you're doing his word, it will never mock you. Once the season of God comes, your reward will never evade you. Now, I want to mention a few people in the Bible. We have mentioned so many people and we use so many familiar people, but I just want to highlight these three people really quickly. One is the lady by the name of Rebecca. You see, there were so many women, you know, in Rebecca's generation. And there is a time where women go to get water at the well. So it's a lifestyle. You know, women go, they go get water, they take it home. You know, if you look back, you know, now we have so many technologies. So that is something we cannot even picture in this generation. But in those days, wells are the source of water. And it's not easy. You know, you have to walk a long distance to go to this well to fetch water. And then when you fetch this water, you take it back home, you know, and you use it for cooking or for bed, whatever purpose is for. That's a hard work, but women do it. So when women go get water, it became their lifestyle. But there's this woman called Rebecca. She lived a life of the extra mile. She lived it as a lifestyle. It was a lifestyle. If she go get water and somebody needs it, she will give away the water. And she will go get more water. If she sees somebody that needs water, she will give it away. She will go get more. So that's been her lifestyle. But sometimes what we do in secret, what we are faithful in doing through our life, we don't realize that God is watching. We don't realize that the way we are sacrificing, the way we are sowing, we think nobody's watching. That's why God says, though what you're doing might not be known to men, but to God, he says, what you're doing it in secret. But it's only God that will reward you. And when he rewards you, he will reward you openly. So that's the season of harvest. You know, you are for 8 years or seven, you've been praying. Sometimes why are we doing all this? Non-stop. You have job, you have this, but you've been faithful. God is watching. So Rebecca was doing this. Nobody knew. So all of a sudden, the father of faith, Abraham, needed a wife for the son. And he knows that this son must marry a wife of divine destiny. So he called his choice servant and he made a covenant with his servant. He says, you know, he put your hand here, and they made a covenant. And the servant made a covenant with Abraham. And he said, I want you to get a wife from my father's house. And in other words, that covenant was, you must bring forth a child of destiny, a daughter of destiny for my son. And Abraham, of course, is everything about him is connected to heaven. And he knows that this child is a child of destiny. So he cannot just marry anybody. So he says, I want you to provide, and I want you to do this for me as my servant before I die. And this is a bond servant. He does whatever his master says. So the servant, knowing the gravity of this assignment,
had to cry out to God. So in prayer, the servant says, God, I'm paraphrasing now, you have somebody for my master. But how do I know the quality and the kind of person that you have? That person must have a characteristics. And he says, I'm going to go to where women get water, where women are found. And I am going to pray that the woman that goes the extra mile, the woman whose lifestyle is the one that goes the extra mile. What does it mean, extra mile? The woman will give me water to drink. And then the woman will give my donkeys water to drink. And give those that follow me water to drink. It's not easy to fetch water. But the one that will go the extra mile must have the characteristics to take care of my master's son. So he went to this well, and all these people were there. And all of a sudden, he asked for water. And Rebecca, now, first of all, for you to give a stranger water that you suffered to get out of a well, that's a test. If that's not your lifestyle, you might not think about it. So then, after Rebecca gave him water to drink, he turns around and gave the donkeys water to drink. Go, you go fetch water, give to the donkeys. Go fetch water, give. Did all that. If that is not your lifestyle, it will not be easy for you to do it in the time of testing. So sometimes God uses times and periods of consistency and persevering process of sowing, a lifestyle of giving, a lifestyle of sacrifice, until that lifestyle has become your first nature. And at that time, you don't even know what God is looking for. But then you're ripe for destiny and for purpose of what God. So Rebecca was an answer to the prayers of Abraham, to the cry of a seed that God has raised for a generation. And that seed became an answer to the prayer of Abraham's servant. So there are things that are on God's heart. And there are things that God wants to fulfill in our generation. And sometimes it's, you become an answer to that. You become an answer to that. But again, it has to do. So again, why am I saying this? Rebecca has been sowing. She's been living an extraordinary life. But to others, it might look like, why are you always doing this? Why are you always doing that? Praying, giving, serving, doing this, calling, doing all these things that are spiritual. People can't see the result. Why not do the things that people can see, that they can praise you or give you money or appreciate you, and you see the fruit? Rebecca was sowing in the spirit. But the time came, she not only reaped in the spirit, she reaped in the physical. So that's one example of you faithfulness in the time of your visitation will become your day of harvest. Now, another example is the man by the name of Joshua. There were so many people in the days of Moses. We are talking about visible manifestation of a spiritual leader. His name is Moses. What God used him to do in Egypt is unbelievable. It was obvious that this man was with God. And people see what God is doing with this man, Israelites. There were young men there. Now, the unfortunate thing also is Moses had children. But they did not have the eyes to understand the call of their father. So it took a man by the name of Joshua. He started serving faithfully. Whatever Moses does, Joshua will do. Wherever he goes, he will go. So, you know, anything he asks him to do, he will do. Joshua left everything. If he goes, Moses goes to prayer, he will go. If he goes to the mountain, 40 days, he will go wait by the side of the mountain. 40 days until Moses comes back. He was so faithful. And I'm sure people are looking at him and say, why are you wasting? Why are you doing all this? Why are you doing all this? But the day came that Moses was to die. And Moses was crying, God, who will lead these people? Guess what? The Bible says God was already watching Joshua. He was watching what this man was doing in secret. Watching the sacrifice of many years. Served Moses for 40 years. And all of a sudden God called after Moses died and said, Joshua, you are the only man that can take these people to the next level. And anointed him for it. Faithfulness for many years without seeing serving. There was also a similar man, you know, we know Elisha. But the third person I want to bring here is the one that really God has used to really test my life a lot and encourage me and help me to see, you know, the faithfulness reaps great rewards. There was something on God's heart, and the Isaiah saw it. Isaiah spoke of it in Isaiah chapter 40. He says God is going to send a messenger before he reveals his son. You know, he sends forth his glory in Israel. And this messenger will go before him to prepare the way. And this will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and make a way for the revelation of the Messiah. This God showed Isaiah this person. God showed Malachi, a messenger will come before the Lord. All these things are things on God's heart. So we are praying and praying. People are praying. Who is God going to use to be an answer to prayer? Because God has to answer those prayers, and those prayers have to wear human jackets. So in the days of Zechariah and Elizabeth, these two people were faithful. They were serving God with great sacrifice. But the unfortunate thing is, the more they were serving God, they were not getting physical blessings that they can see. Elizabeth's womb died of barrenness. They were getting old. They didn't see anything. So like Zechariah, like being a human, was getting weary, was really getting weary. You can see that his heart was already giving up. But there's something Zechariah did that was unusual. Nobody knew how discouraged he was. Nobody knew that not having a child, not even having a physical blessing, but nobody knew how discouraged he was until an angel came. But look at how discouraged, how difficult his sowing, his laboring was. But still, you know, this man never gave up. He never lost his time to watch, his time to pray, his time to commit. He, year in, year out, he kept his time of prayer. He kept his time of watch. And God saw in the midst of his weary, in his midst of his discouragement, he never fainted. He never gave up. He still kept serving. And guess what? The day of his harvest came. The day of his visitation came. The day of his release came. God's due season for him came. And he was visited. And God showed him, Zechariah, I could have given you so many natural children. I could have given you children if you wanted children. But you have been faithful. Your prayers meant a lot to me. I just wanted to give you an answer from my heart. I want you to be the one that will be an answer to the prayers of the people for your generation. What is that answer? I am providing for your generation the prophecies of Isaiah. The messenger I have purposed to send, I am bringing that through your loins. What an answer to prayer. What a harvest Zechariah harvested. But look at the suffering, the tears of the laboring, the inconvenience he had to go, the reproach he had to go through for many years. And looking in the physical, looks like there was no harvest. So, I pray, the Bible says when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide us into all truth. And he will bring to remembrance the things that God is teaching us. So I'm not saying anything that you don't know, but it's so important for us to keep reminding ourselves that God can never mock us. And we should not allow anything to deceive us, that this God that we are serving diligently will not reward us. He's a rewarder. He says even as there's a seed time, there will be a harvest time. He guarantees it with such principle that he will reward us if we do not faint. And that's why Jesus gave the two major principles in prayer. The widow woman not to give up and the friend at midnight not to give up. Whatever we are knocking for, God will open. Whatever we are asking, God will provide. Only one condition, no matter what you see, no matter how you feel, do not give up, because the word of God can never mock you. Never mock you. God will fulfill his promises. So in every generation, many times it's not easy to wait. It's not easy to keep praying. It's not easy to stay faithful. Look at all these people. So many years they waited. But thank God today we have their testimonies. God came through and gave them exceedingly abundantly above their expectation. Even the things on God's heart came through them. So I want to speak to you tonight that God has not forgotten you. And God will never forget your labor of love. God has seasons and God has times. And in his own special time, he says if we do not give up, we are going to see our visitation, our harvest. I thank God for the various seasons of my life where in different situations I would have given up on some things. But because these principles are true, because the word of God is unchangeable, I endured. And different seasons, I saw different results. You know, and today I'm even seeing different results, unexpected results. And I just want to let you know that I feel and I really believe that we are entering into a new season where we are going to be receiving corporate visitations, corporate blanket seasons of harvest. The day of your visitation, meaning the day of your harvest, the day of breakthrough, supernatural manifestation of God's blessings upon you. I think we are entering that day. And as we close this sharing, you know, Jesus gave a very amazing parable, again, about things like this. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, he spoke about this, the parable of the wheat and the tares, that when a farmer sows the wheat, and then the enemy comes and sows tares. Again, he gave examples of that. But the interesting thing in that parable is that when the servants were watching the seasons, there was a season where they noticed that the work of the enemy was more visible. The wickedness was so visible. And they asked, they said, should we just intervene and take this situation out? But God says, no, the husbandman said, no, just let them grow together until the harvest time, God's appointed time. And when that time comes, he says, I will gather the wicked out of the way, but I will cause my children to see their harvest, the wheat into their barn. So my brothers and sisters, the God who created this universe can never mock his own word. We must settle it in our heart. No matter how difficult this joining gets, no matter how long it takes, if this God and his word are one, you will never be disappointed. Don't look in the flesh. Don't walk by sight. That's why it is only those who have walked by faith who really believe that God can never change his principle. And his word can never disappoint us. They are the ones, their names are written in Hebrews 11, because God finally came through. And that's why we encourage one another. And that's why we keep praying. And that's why we keep standing. No matter how we feel, no matter how tired, no matter what, Zechariah felt that way. But the reason the angel still came, no matter how Zechariah felt, was Zechariah never stopped his watch, never gave up on prayer. But even though it was a difficult thing for him. So my brothers and sisters, don't give up on America. God has big expectation for this nation. And the prayers are working it out. What we see now are just temporal. And people tend to focus on that. People tend to build their whole life on that. The prayers you're praying for your children, the prayers you're praying for your workplace, the prayers you're praying for yourself, don't give up because of what you see physically. Those are temporal. They can change overnight. I testify of that. Things I never expected are happening. And are good things. And I know it's a season that good things will begin to happen to every one of you on this line. Simply because God is unchangeable. His word is unchangeable. And if that's what you're building your promise, if that's what you're sowing into, he promises that you will not only harvest blessings in this world, but eternal life is guaranteed to you, according to Paul. So thank you so much for your diligence, for your faithfulness, for your commitment. This God you serve is too big, too great, and too powerful to fail you. Just be a little bit more patient and let the seasons fulfill their time. And we are in that season where you will see the miraculous visitations and blessings of God. I am saying it because I'm experiencing something like that right now. And that is a sign for me, for big things that God is about to do, not only in America, but in all our lives that have been waiting on God. Satan can never disrupt the plans of God. He can try to hinder it. He can try to abort it. He can do everything. But all he does is to promote the manifestation of it. It's all over the Bible. So whatever we see happening in America today, politics, whatever we see happening in the world today, they will never hinder what God has spoken will be. God will have harvest. And it is the prayers of the saints that will cause that to happen. And you are part of that. So expect harvest. As a true laborer with God, expect harvest. In your life, in your family, in your job, in your ministry, expect harvest. I'm expecting it. And I know some big good things are on the way for all of us. God bless you really good tonight. So be encouraged. Father, I thank you. Have your way. Continue to encourage us, because you never change. You will never change because you are God. So we thank you for your word that edifies us, strengthens us, inspires us, and provokes us to continue to stay faithful on this altar of incense. In Jesus' name, amen.